$5 off any extra large 20-inch pizza at Stefanina's. Call your local Stefanina's or Stefanina's Express location or order online at stephspizza.com. Save $3 on a delicious extra large 20-inch pizza every Thursday at Stefanina's.
Great news for St. Louis. R&R Sanitation has taken over Progressive ISEI portable toilets. Now, what does that mean? That means for all of you who have been suffering with Progressive ISEI portable toilets, you can now look forward to receiving the best service in the industry, courtesy of R&R Sanitation. Basically, you've gone from worst to first. R&R Sanitation will be updating and bringing Progressive ISEI equipment up to date to R&R standards. Everything's going to be brand new, which means all the home builders that use Progressive ISEI will now get the benefit of the commitment to customer service that has made R&R Sanitation the leader in the industry, which means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know what? When you have better porta potties from R&R Sanitation, we all win. 314-776-4000. That's 314-776-4000 or rnrportabletoilets.com. They really do want your stinking business. R&R Sanitation.
The stock market is off to its worst start to a new year ever. So what do you do with your money now? How do you protect it? Don't miss America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on 550 KTRS.
It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, vacation edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Frank while he and Ian and Dan and 100 or so of our listeners are off on a vacation in Jamaica. Tim and Josh are here in the studio with me, and my friend Phil Plate is on the phone. Phil is an astronomer and a columnist for Slate.com, and I've asked him to join us here this afternoon, as he's done many, many times in the last decade or so, to explain something related to space that I don't understand, a story that came out this week that there could be a ninth planet out there. Now, we just downgraded Pluto about a decade ago from planet to dwarf planet, and so now we're for the last 10 years we've been hearing there are only 8 planets in our solar system, but apparently now there might be a ninth. So here's Phil. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on again. It's been a little while.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. So, before we get into the details of what this planet is, I'm amazed. Years ago, you worked on the Hubble telescope, right?
Yes.
The Hubble Space Telescope can see not just things in our solar system and things in our galaxy, but out beyond that, into the universe, nebulae and clouds of stars and planets hundreds of light years away, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. How could it miss a planet around the corner?
Well, for one thing, we don't know this planet exists. So if it's not there, you can't find it. I'll throw that out there right away. But also, Hubble is not a survey instrument. And by that, I mean it looks at a little dinky, tiny, teeny piece of the sky. And each time it takes a picture, it's looking at something that's roughly the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length.
Wow.
So it's very tiny, typically. And so if there's something you're looking for in the sky and you don't know where it is, you'd have to take literally millions or even billions of pictures before you could find it.
Okay.
But the thing is, there are ground-based telescopes on Earth that do this. They take surveys of the sky and sweep around and basically have mapped the entire sky. What we know is that if this planet's out there, it must be fainter than what these telescopes can see. And from the numbers, that's pretty much what it looks like.
Are you surprised that there could be something we haven't discovered that is relatively close to Earth compared to the rest of the universe?
Actually, not at all. In fact, when I was working on Hubble, we were looking at stars out in space that were very young and had planets forming around them. And we saw planets forming much farther out from the host star than the planets here are orbiting the sun, so much farther out even than Neptune. And a colleague of mine and I wondered if there could be a planet in the solar system really far out. The problem was, at that time, the technology wasn't quite good enough to find it, and all of the surveys would have to change all their software to look at an object like this, and nobody wanted to do it. So, you know, this kind of thing has been predicted for a while, or at least, I should say, anticipated. And there have been some ideas that there could be another planet out there, But what's been revealed this week is the best evidence for it so far.
Okay, so give me the lowdown on what we're talking about.
Okay, so I haven't seen it. We don't know if it exists. There are no pictures of this. However, if you were to go out on a lake and see an expanding wake, you could probably assume that there was a boat that just passed by a minute or two ago. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. There are icy chunks out past Neptune. Some of them are hundreds of miles across. And they're on elliptical, you know, stretched out orbits. And you'd expect those orbits to be pointing in basically every direction. But when you look at some of these, they appear to be lined up as if they're all sort of facing the same way, the long axis of the orbit. They all point the same direction. And that's not what you expect. And one way to explain this is that there is a massive planet, 10 times the mass of the Earth, that's orbiting the sun much, much, much farther out than Neptune. And it's interacted with these objects, and its gravity has basically lined up the orbits of these objects. Now, you know, it's not 100% sure. There are other things that can do this, but this seems like the most likely explanation.
So where are we talking about? Is this, you know, out among the dwarf planets of like a Pluto, or is it in the Kuiper Belt, or what are we talking about here?
It's pretty far out into the Kuiper Belt. It probably, and that's a, I should say, that's the region outside Neptune's orbit where a lot of these icy chunks orbit the sun. This thing doesn't really get much closer to the sun than about, you know, five times or more Neptune's distance. So it's really far out there, and it may get as much as 50 billion kilometers out from the sun. A tremendously long distance.
Is that further than Pluto was? Or is?
Yes. Oh, much further. Five, 10 times that, something like that in
okay.
that area.
Okay.
And so this thing takes thousands and thousands of years to orbit the sun, if it exists again. And it's so far away that even though it could be big, it's so faint, it's just escaped our notice.
All right. When I was growing up, we had 9 planets because Pluto was still in there. And we were always taught that Pluto and its orbit around the Earth were essentially the outside limits of what we called our solar system. Does this thing that's 5 times that distance away still count as being part of our solar system?
Yes, it does. And it depends on what you think of when you think solar system. Most people think of the major planets out to Neptune. But that's not fair because these icy chunks in the Kuiper Belt and even farther out in what's called the Oort cloud, these are really far away, maybe hundreds of billions of miles out. And they orbit the sun. They're part of the solar system, too, even though to them, Neptune is really close to the sun. They're so far out. So the solar system extends for a long way. Neptune and Pluto are still relatively close to the sun compared to these more distant objects.
Is it possible that we never noticed this before because it's so far away from the sun that there's barely any light getting there?
Well, yeah, that's basically it. It's so far from, now remember, again, if this planet exists, we don't have proof, we don't know, but if it exists, it's so far from the sun that the sun would be much fainter than it looks like from Earth. So it's not illuminating this planet very well, and then that light has to get reflected back to us, so it gets even fainter. And by the time you do this, this object is barely visible, even in decent telescopes, except when it's in its part of its orbit, when it's closest to the sun. Then it's bright enough that, you know, smaller telescopes could see it. The fact that they haven't, that nobody has detected this thing, means either it doesn't exist, or if it does exist, it's farther away.
Okay, so we've got some astronomers who have discovered something that may or may not be a discovery because it may or may not actually be there. And they have this hypothesis, which you go along with, and then we have to prove it, right? You're a scientist. You know there's got to be proof involved. So how do you prove whether this thing actually exists?
There is an easy way, and that's find it. And I say it's easy, but of course it's really hard. This thing is faint. Mike Brown, who is one of the two astronomers, has written about this, and he basically predicted where it might be in the sky. So there are ways of looking for this thing, but it's still a pretty big sky, and it's crowded with stars when you're looking that faint. So it's going to be tough to find. That could prove its existence if you find it. Of course, we could find something else that's on a different orbit that doesn't explain the orbits of these other objects, and that means they may be wrong. And also, a planet this size out that far will have other effects on some of these icy bodies as well. If we discover some of these icy bodies that don't behave as if there's a planet there, then that's kind of proof against it. But in the end, I think it's all going to be very tentative and very just conservative to say we don't know if this thing exists until we actually see it, so we actually have images of it moving against the background of stars.
I read your piece on Slate about this, and I love the irony of this guy, Mike Brown, the astronomer who's part of the team that that discovered that this planet may exist. The irony is that he was part of the team that led to the demotion of Pluto to not full planet, but dwarf planet status. And so now he may be one of the people who said, no, that's not a planet. Oh, by the way, we have another one you should look at.
That's right. I do like the irony of this as well. Mike's at Caltech. He worked with Konstantin Batygin. They're the two people who have theorized that this planet may exist. But a few years ago, Mike's team found this object called Eris, which is a body that is roughly the size of Pluto, very far out in the solar system. And that's what basically started this whole thing of demoting Pluto to a dwarf planet. I think that whole thing is ridiculous. It's hard to define what a planet is, and so arguing over whether Pluto's a planet or not doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the fact that kick-started this whole discussion, basically, and then for him to come around a few years later and say, yeah, we have evidence of an actual planet out there, and it's far larger, it's bigger than the Earth, if it exists. I like that, too. It makes me smile.
Is he going around saying, by the way, we're calling this planet Mike Brown?
No, I don't think he gets to do that.
Who gets to name it?
They're calling it Planet 9 for now, which is clearly a tweak towards the people who want Pluto to be a planet. But if it gets a name, it'll have to be named by, after it's discovered, after a certain amount of time, it'll be named by the International Astronomical Union. There are plenty of names they could give it. I kind of like Persephone. That's always been my choice for a planet past Pluto. That's the character in Greek mythology who was wooed by Pluto, the king of the underworld, and had to stay with him after she ate pomegranate seeds. It's a great myth. You should look it up if you're listening to this. I think it would be an apt name for a planet out there.
Oh, wait a second. I just had a great idea, Phil.
I'm listening.
You know how space programs worldwide are always having budget problems, particularly in this country where NASA's budget has been attacked and cut and all the rest. And I'm sure the European Space Agency and the Chinese Space Agency and the Indian Space Agency, they're all having the same problem. Here's my idea. We've discovered a new planet, and it doesn't have a name yet, so we're going to have a global lottery, and the winner gets to name it whatever they want. On one condition, it can't be a corporate sponsorship name. It has to be a person. Can you imagine, of the billions of people on this planet, how many people would cough up $10 to have a chance to name it after their grandchild or their daughter or whoever that is? This is a great way to raise billions and billions of dollars for space exploration, Phil.
I would agree with you, but knowing the internet, somebody would write a little snippet of code and they would spend millions of dollars just to submit over and over and over again so that they could win, and then we'd have a planet. They would have something awful, like, clown fart would be the name of it. Like I'd almost rather that it were, Microsoft's ninth planet than something like that.
Yeah, the planet troll.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, I appreciate the information. It's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Phil Plait is the bad astronomer because he notes other people's bad astronomy in his work and has written books like Death from the Skies and his regular Slate column, which is terrific to read as well. Phil Plait here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS. Now, Josh, to go into this segment, you chose to play a piece of David Bowie's Space Oddity.
Yes.
Was that because that was the only space song you could think of at the moment, or because you're still doing Bowie tributes?
A little bit of both. Okay. Paul, let's be honest.
All right. I'm here to make an appeal to you and everybody else in the broadcast media. We're done with Bowie.
Are we done?
It's been 10 days now, 11 actually, that we've been doing the Bowie thing. And I liked David Bowie, and I wrote a column about my experience with Bowie years and years ago. It's on my website, harrisonline.com. But enough with the Bowie. And here's what I think the new rule should be. And Tim, you can chime in on this too. I think when another classic rocker dies, you stop doing your tributes to the previous classic rocker. So we have found out about Glenn Frey on Monday, but we're still doing David Bowie from the previous Monday.
Right.
Isn't it time?
It's time. Yeah.
You want me to play Take It to the Limit?
No.
No.
I'm just saying to the whole media, because people are still posting things about Bowie on Facebook. Nobody, by the way, has a cool Glenn Frey. I've not seen one cool Glenn Frey story. People had lots of them about Bowie, but we've seen them already. Stop posting them. We don't need to see yet another video of him in one of his Ziggy Stardust-like get-ups, performing one of his songs, or performing at the concert for New York City after 9/11, or any of that. Just knock it off. Just a personal plea from me.
Okay. It's time.
All right. On another subject, a lot of noise has been made in the last 48 hours about Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. And I'm not going to talk about either of them in particular, but I people ask me about this all the time. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? And I said, well, eventually people are going to vote, and then we're going to really see. Because as of right now, all you see are polls, and the polls are notoriously wrong. Do you not remember the last election cycle from 4 years ago where the polls were wrong, especially the ones that showed that Mitt Romney had even any chance of beating Barack Obama? Not a political statement. It's a fact that the polls, many of them, got it completely wrong. So wait until people vote. Okay, so the Iowa caucus is coming up in, what, next week sometime? Even that won't matter, because the Iowa caucuses are stupid. It's the only place I know of in America where an entire state comes down to, let's go over to Jeannie's house, and we'll have a potluck dinner, and then we'll all raise our hands and say who we want to be president.
Right.
It's an idiotic idea.
Yeah, it is.
See, I'm one of those who, as an American, likes to think that the secret ballot is really important. That you can vote for whoever you want to, and nobody finds out that that was your vote. And yet in Iowa, they get together over at Jeannie's house, and when dessert is served, before we bring out the pie, we'd like to have everybody grouped together, and we're going to have discussions here, and then raise your hand. And so now you have to publicly say, oh, I'm for Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or whoever your candidate is for. You have to say that there. And then somebody goes, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's like, I never got that either.
That's how it works. We don't do that anywhere in America outside of elementary school.
Jeannie, you can't raise both your hands.
And I guarantee
now
you,
I have to start over.
I guarantee you that goes on. And here's how even less important the Iowa caucuses is. I went back and I looked this up today. If you go back to the previous results of the Iowa caucuses, which again are not officially a primary, they're just some aberration on the American electoral system. If you go back 4 years ago, do you know who won on the Republican side?
Rick Santorum.
Correct. President Rick Santorum. You know who won 4 years before that? President Mike Huckabee.
Oh, yeah.
Go back before that, and, well, George W. Bush was running for re-election, so he was unopposed there. And 4 years before that, he did beat Steve Forbes and the rest of the people who are running. But go back to 1988, and Bob Dole got 37% of the votes in Iowa. And George H.W. Bush, who actually became the nominee of the party that year, got 19%. Twice as many people in Iowa voted for Bob Dole as for George H.W. Bush. In other words, there's no correlation here. You can even go look at the Democrat side. In 1992, Tom Harkin got 76% of the vote in Iowa.
Who?
Why? Because he was a senator, a Democratic senator from Iowa.
Yeah.
76% of the vote. Bill Clinton, who of course became the president, got elected in 1992, got 3%. And by the way, he wasn't in second place. Paul Tsongas got 4%. An uncommitted got 12%. How's that? You go over to Jeannie's house. Let's all raise our hands now. Josh, you don't seem to have your hand up. Well, I'm uncommitted. Why did you come? Tonight's the night we're voting.
I heard there was pie.
This is like the people who take part in online polls where the answer is yes, no, or no opinion. Who's clicking no opinion? Why are you bothering to do that? You wasted your time even looking at that. Go back to 1988. our congressman from that era, Dick Gephardt. Remember how Dick Gephardt, majority leader, hugely powerful in Congress, he got 31% of the vote. Did he become president? No. Did he become the nominee of the Democratic Party? No. Michael Dukakis that year got 22%, and he went on to absolutely get crushed in the general by George H.W. Bush. By the way, the uncommitted thing, here's my favorite part of this story. In 1976, when the Democrats caucused in Iowa, uncommitted won. 37% of the people said, I am uncommitted. Jimmy Carter, who eventually became the nominee, only got 28%.
That was probably a pretty short speech.
So let's stop playing up Iowa. Let's stop playing up political endorsements that have anything to do with Iowa. It doesn't matter. It has no relation to the rest of the country. But, of course, for the rest of the media who don't tell you the truth because they don't have this perspective, they're only interested in the horse race, for them, countdown to Iowa is on.
Now, how long has the Iowa caucus thing been going on?
How long's Jeannie been alive? I don't know how long it's been going on. Okay. I'm going to say certainly through our lifetime.
Yeah.
Because I can remember hearing about it my entire lifetime.
Yeah, I do remember
and,
that.
And at no point in that time has anybody in Iowa said, this is stupid. Why do we do it this way? I don't even like Jeannie.
Jeannie.
It's 5:34. Knuckleheads in the news and Mike Evans coming right up.
Meet me.
First, let's see what Tim says about the traffic. For everybody on the way to Jeannie's house.
Yeah, Jeannie's. All right. Well, if you're if it's in South County, it's
gonna house be a, over here.
It's going to be a,
somebody parked in the driveway, and Jeannie can't get out to go get more aspic.
Aspic?
Yeah, that's that Jello stuff with carrot shavings in it that Jeannie always tries to push on you at the caucuses. I hate it.
Yeah, I do too. You're traveling on southbound 270. You've got slow to stop and go now from south of Dorset all the way down through, we'll call it around Marshall Road, eastbound 40 downtown. That's jamming up from, looks like Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge, westbound 40. That's Grand all the way out through McCausland. You've got stop and go from Ballas out to Maryville Center, eastbound 270. No change there. It's McDonald through New Florissant. And still have that. They cleared an accident, I found out, on eastbound Highway 70 at Bermuda. So traffic is running slow from, it looks like around Cypress out through Bermuda, and then things open up. This report brought to you by Subway. You can get a free 6-inch Subway sandwich when you buy a 30-ounce drink. Text offers to 782929 to get weekly text offers sent right to your phone. Subway, founded on fresh. Message and data rates may apply. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Introducing Pizza Hut's new $5 flavor menu. Any two or more of your favorites are just $5 each. It's Pizza Hut's best deal. Only at Pizza Hut.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
How long would you wait for your shower to get hot? How long would you wait for your cell phone to fully charge? How long would you wait to get relief from your nasal congestion? If you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait? When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed. For more information, go to Afrin.com.
Tired of spending a fortune for razor blades and using that same razor blade over and over again because you know how much it's going to cost to buy new ones? I have a solution for you. Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors are shipped straight from the factory, so they cut out all the middlemen, so you get better razors, better shaves at a much better price. Harry's.com is where you want to go to find out more. The razor blades and the razors are sent straight from the factory. The starter set costs $15. That's 1 month of shaving for $15. 1 month of shaving for $15. You get a razor, you get extra blades, a travel cover, and shaving cream for $15 a month. But wait, there's more. Use the promo code KTRS. They'll knock $5 off of that price. So it's just $10 for 1 month of shaving. And it's free shipping. Free shipping, $10 for 1 month of the best shaving experience you will ever have. Go to Harry's.com. That's Harry's.com.
If you don't have life insurance because you think you can't afford it, stay tuned for the following special opportunity.
a life insurance company is now offering affordable term life insurance to the American public for under a dollar a day, so you can finally protect your family's financial future. But hurry, call immediately for free information. 1-800-554-6922. The call only takes 5 minutes and it's absolutely free. With this affordable insurance, if you're a 40-year-old man who doesn't smoke, you could get a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's a $500,000 to protect your family's dreams. If you thought you couldn't afford life insurance, well, now you can. Make the quick 5-minute call now and secure your family's financial future. That's free information on term life insurance policies issued by American National Insurance Company for under a dollar a day. Don't miss this special opportunity. Call AmericanNationalDirect.com at 1-800-554-6922. That's 1-800-554-6922.
Tired of tossing and turning? Tired of staring at the ceiling all night? I have a solution for you. The Bedroom Store has invented a mattress called the iZone Bed. This mattress takes all of the best technologies and puts them into one mattress so you get the best night's sleep ever. 14 different water chambers that are filled and then never touched. They are designed to match specifically with your body and your sleep type. They're then stuffed inside a memory foam mattress, and on top of that is a mattress that keeps you cool. The cooler the temperature, the better you sleep. The results are amazing. To find the iZone bed, you want to go to the Bedroom Store. 14 area locations invented by Denny Boyd, a St. Louis company. The Bedroom Store and the iZone bed. Your best sleep possible. The iZone bed at the Bedroom Store or thebedroomstore.com.
If time has not been very kind to your teeth, Dr. Bowen at Bowen Dental Care can give you back your smile. With cleanings, Invisalign, or dental implants, whatever you need, it's all under one roof. Dr. Bowen can perform implant dentistry from start till finish and has been doing so in an office that's not a one-size-fits-all facility. Dr. Bowen can also fit your new implants with existing dentures so you can eat corn on the cob and apples, as well as reclaim your smile. If you want an honest opinion about your dental needs, go see Bowen Dental Care. They specialize in customer service and will take care of you from start to finish. Get the treatment you and your family deserve with Dr. Bowen at Bowen Dental Care in Florissant, near I-270 and 170 on Dunn Road. Call them at 314-921-3500 and get your smile back. Online at BowenDentalCare.com. That's B-O-A-I-N DentalCare.com.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
So, I'm in Jamaica. Peon's with me. Dan's with me. Thanks for not hating us. Some of you might. But, like it or not, we do this once a year. Let's talk about your kitchen. Let's talk about your bathrooms. Pick one. Pick both. Thompson Price will take care of either or both. And when the time comes that the house is old, but the kitchen... Let's start with the kitchen. Makes it look even older, because that's what happens. Everything's so outdated. There's a remedy for that, and the remedy doesn't have to be buy a new house. It's just get a new kitchen, a brand new kitchen. Make the whole house look better. They can do that for you. They've done it for many, many, many people, and these people all have the same sentiment about Thompson Price, and that is, boy, do they know what they're doing. And this was money well spent, and we got every dollar's worth. You will, too. Thompson Price Kitchens, Baths, Home. Please consider them, even if you're talking to two or three other companies. We don't have a problem with that. Because sometimes by comparison, if you actually do look at another kitchen and bath place, Thompson Price just looks even better. So make them a part of the, I guess, what would you call it, the shopping expedition for who's going to remodel your kitchen and bathroom. You make them part of it, I think this is who you're going to go with. Again, remember to make sure the name Price is in at least one of the companies you're talking to. Showroom in DePere, all the info's on their website, ThompsonPrice.com.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine, when you're going to love.
It's the vacation edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Just a quick plug that tomorrow I will have the Harris Challenge for you at 5:15, the most fun you can have with your radio on. This portion of today's show is brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant on the Smokehouse Market in the Chesterfield Valley. Great place to get a meal to go or to get a dinner that you can sit down and enjoy with that deep wine cellar they've got there. You're going to have a wonderful meal when you go to Annie Gunn's or take one home from the Smokehouse Market next door, right there in the Chesterfield Valley. I am Paul Harris. Josh and Tim are here with me in the studio. And now from Southern California, here's Mr. Mike Evans.
Don't forget they got gift certificates on me.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
Don't be peeing down your leg on me.
Sounds like we're enjoying something. Cabernet?
On the second glass, homie.
Is that Cabernet?
Shiraz. Hey, Shiraz, Shiraz. Whatever will be, will be.
I love contemporary music.
What?
Go ahead.
Idea. Paco's question, name the name of the unlikely, fabulous piano player. Started learning piano when she was 2 years old. Then she decided to go into acting. Selma Hayek. Penelope Cruz. Michelle Rodriguez. America Ferrera.
Okay.
Answer in a minute. Movie news, best friends Amy Schumer and Jennifer Lawrence looking for a project to do together. I'm sure they'll find one.
Mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter are planning a huge protest at the Oscars. See, I wonder why they would do that.
Yeah, by the way, were you shocked to hear that Will Smith is also not going to the Oscars?
A little bit. You know, Jada has him on a pretty short string.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to go anyway. He's not nominated. All these people who are saying they're not going, they are not nominated.
Yeah, but they're voters, and they usually go.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can't make this up. Khloe Kardashian admits that she made a sex tape with Lamar Odom, her then-husband, who since she has dumped, who's in the hospital. But a tape is going to be made available, I guess, if you want to purchase it. Boy, those Kardashians are the richest poor white trash in the world.
Yes, they are.
Hayden Panettiere is going through some rough times suffering from that postpartum depression that some mothers get. But she's being held through it by her best friend, Carrie Underwood.
Wow.
Celebrities blocking their schedule to campaign against Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
John Voight.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler.
Mm.
French artist Arlen has arrived in New York to do a couple of shows and to file a $10 million lawsuit against the Lady Gaga. Arlen says that the Lady Gaga is guilty of plagiarism for the song Born This Way. She stole it.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed, Harry Potter is going to be a Broadway play next year.
Okay.
Two New York headlines, one from the Daily News, which I don't like because they always go overboard. It's such a horrible newspaper, but I thought it was funny enough. Picture on the front page of Sarah Palin standing next to Donald Trump after her endorsement of Trump and pointing at Donald. The headline screams, I'm with stupid.
Yeah.
New York Post headline above the story about Sarah Palin supporting Donald Trump. Headline screamed, The Lady and the Trump.
Uh-huh.
I like that one. Do you like that one?
Yeah, it's all right.
What do you mean it's all right?
I mean, it's all right.
Can't you give any credit to some well-written...
Yeah, but you've given us lots of New York Post headlines in the past, and I thought this one was okay compared to some of the great ones you've had in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Lady and the Trump was pretty good.
Yeah. Did you see the one about the snow that's approaching New York City?
Yeah.
It said, this weekend will be whiter than the Oscars.
The Oscars, yes. I did see that.
That's good.
Day in history, January 21st, 1908. I don't know how this law ever got written, but it was just repealed about 10 years ago. A law passed in New York barring women from smoking on the streets of New York.
Uh-huh.
How weird is that?
Now that's the only place they can.
Elvis Presley manager died on this day, Colonel Tom Parker. He was a shady bad character.
Mm-hmm.
Was not allowed to leave the United States or he couldn't come back. That is the reason that Elvis Presley never played outside the United States.
Wait, I never heard that. Why couldn't he leave?
He had some kind of legal problems.
I guess.
Yeah, involving embezzlement. And
so Elvis never had like a European tour or
never.
Anything? Wow.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
I think if I was Elvis, I would have dumped him. But if I was Elvis, I'd be getting laid and stuff.
Was that a problem for Elvis?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, probably not as big a problem for Elvis as it was for me when I was his age.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we have to go that far.
No.
I mean, coming from a guy that couldn't get laid if he was an egg.
Well, that's me. Thank you.
So I did their comedy.
Yep. My point is, I don't think any of us compare to a super big-time rock star when it comes to attracting the women who will sleep with us.
You do.
Yes. Yes.
Danny DeVito, I would say.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And finally.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, he said no. Good.
Yeah.
Name the name of the unlikely, fabulous piano player. Started learning piano 2 years old. Is it Selma Hayek, Penelope Cruz, Michelle Rodriguez, America Ferrera?
All right, I'm going Michelle Rodriguez for no reason other than I like saying Michelle Rodriguez. Josh?
I'm going to go America Ferrera.
Tim?
Well, I had written it down when he said it. I'm going to go Michelle Rodriguez.
The answer is Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
Very good, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, try to stay warm, dance between the snowflakes, and be safe, drive careful, and it's a treat and a pleasure. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much. Mike Evans brought to you every day at this time by Annie Gunn's Restaurant on the Smokehouse Market in the Chesterfield Valley. Now, before we get to knuckleheads, I have to share with you a story of a Yelp review that backfired. A woman by the name of Megan from Calgary, Canada, went to New York City and went to this dive called the Iron Horse. It's kind of a dive, but a very popular neighborhood place. But she apparently didn't have a good time there. And so she gave it a one-star review on Yelp and wrote, "I wouldn't recommend this to eat or for a quiet drink. I met some friends here at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and the music was so loud we couldn't hear each other. Their service was terrible just to get a drink at the bar. The food was also terrible." Well, the owner of Iron Horse decided to reply to Megan. Said, "Thank you for visiting our establishment and for your review. As you took to Yelp to voice your opinion, I would like to voice ours. I read other reviews that you've posted on Yelp for places you've also visited. It seems like you like quiet coffee shops and fancy food, none of which we've ever advertised to provide. In fact, our Yelp description even says, ambiance, divey, noise level, loud. So if you're going to complain, I was hoping it would be about something we actually advertise that we provide. We are primarily a loud, party-type bar atmosphere." I looked these guys up online. It's kind of like a Coyote Ugly kind of place where women are dancing on the bar and everybody's yelling and screaming and the music is loud. People who like that should go there. Apparently, Megan shouldn't. So anyway, the owner goes on to say, "We have 4 stars on Yelp, and it's not because our food will knock your socks off. It's because customers come in for a fun time. Megan, I recommend you align your expectations with the type of establishment you're visiting and do more research before you decide on a place that'll work for your personal preferences. I'm going to give you 1 star, as you're terrible at finding bars and restaurants that suit your tastes. I'll give you more stars if you come back and have a drink with me." I like that.
Bar was way too divey.
Yeah, it was too much of a dive, and it was so loud. Yeah, that's what it says right on our website. We're a loud dive. We tell you that up front. So you should give us 4 stars for delivering on our promise. Now, knuckleheads in the news, brought to you by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company. When you need a cab, use the STL Taxi app to have a Laclede Cab show up at your door. Or call them at 314-652-3456. We span the globe for stories wacky enough to qualify as knuckleheads in the news, and we have an almost all Florida edition. I've mentioned this before. Through all the decades that I've been doing knuckleheads in the news, that state has provided more knuckleheads per capita than any place else on Earth. Today, they are responsible for 75% of our knuckleheads in the news, beginning in Miami Beach, Florida, where a man pulled up to a restaurant and turned over the keys to his $400,000 Lamborghini to a valet to park it. After the owner went inside, the valet took the keys and the car for a joyride. But at one point, he must have revved the engine too hard because it made flames shoot out of the exhaust. Passers-by, of course, caught the whole thing on phone video and posted it to Instagram, and somebody yelled to the valet, "Your car is on fire!" Which it was. The whole rear end had caught on fire. He pulled over. Some people helped him put it out, helped him push the car back to the restaurant. Needless to say, the valet no longer has a job as a valet there. No word on what the Lamborghini owner said or how much his deductible was on his burnt butt of a car. Story number two, Broward County, Florida. A 911 operator is accused of missing an important emergency call involving a man who fainted because she was ordering lunch. Her name is Frances Francois. She's an emergency operator in Broward. She was on another line with a pizza place. While at the Clearsight Opticians in Fort Lauderdale, a man had fainted, and the workers inside called 911 but got no response and no callback, which is the policy of every 911 operator. The owner of Clearsight, Jared Goodman, says the patient had started to convulse and had a seizure and fell out of the exam chair. He said, "I thought there would be more than one person answering the phone at 911. I can't believe there's just one lady." In the recording of her call to the pizza place, yes, they record the outgoing calls as well at 911, Frances Francois is heard placing multiple orders for herself and some of her cop co-workers, and then checking the prices of the selections at some point. The call goes on for 8 minutes, during which she not only didn't respond to the call from Clearsight Opticians, but at least three other 911 calls were unanswered and abandoned. By the way, the man who fainted eventually recovered. He's okay. As for Frances, they did not fire her. They gave her an official letter of reprimand. I guess somebody else has to order lunch from now on.
You think if you were making a call, it'd be a quick one?
Nope. 8 minutes to order lunch. Story number three from Estero, Florida. A player on the Everblades hockey team, see what they did there, the Everblades, he was upset with his girlfriend, so he decided to burn the love letters that she'd sent him. Bought some gasoline, doused the letters in a pile outside his apartment, lit them on fire. Unfortunately, it wasn't far enough away from the apartment, so when the blaze quickly got out of control, how many letters did this guy get? Well, I'm sure the gasoline had something to do with that. The building caught fire. He tried to put that out with water and a towel. But when the fire sprinklers went off, he thought, well, I better call 911. Fortunately, he was not in Broward County, and an operator answered and sent out the firefighters who put out the blaze, but not before there's extensive damage to the walls of the building. No word on whether the firebug is back with his girlfriend. And now we leave Florida to go north to Brussels, Ontario, Canada, where an 80-year-old man was issued a citation for driving a car covered in several inches of snow with only a tiny bit of the windshield cleared. Go online and take a look at this picture, because there's at least a foot of snow covering every part of the car except for about 6 inches of the windshield. That's all he cleared off. He was pulled over by a cop who gave him a $77 ticket. That's 110 in Canadian dollars. He was driving for an obstructed view. The sergeant then helped the guy clear the window off and had him go on his way. Why he had to give him the ticket, I don't know. We could have just helped him by clearing it off.
Yeah.
But somebody on Twitter said that was not harsh enough. They should have thrown the book at the driver. To which the police responded on Twitter, look, the driver was charged. And by the way, according to the law, we're not allowed to throw books at people. Those are your knuckleheads in the news for today here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This picture, Paul.
Yeah.
Go look at it.
Yeah, you got to see it. It is surrounded by snow.
This is the guy that I get behind on a snowy day.
This is the guy who has snow coming off the top of his car, yes, onto your car,
yes,
because he didn't clear it off.
Have you ever driven in cold, snowy weather with something like that?
I have. Well, I usually get all the snow off of the windshield and the hood of my car. I don't always get the whole roof of the car cleared off. But I will admit that there have been some cold, snowy mornings where I had to go somewhere, and I scratched a hole in the ice just big enough for me to get going.
I did that from Columbia to St. Louis. I was living in Columbia, and I came back to St. Louis, and the heat wasn't working in my 68 Volkswagen.
No.
And I had to use a lighter on the windshield to just make a little hole big enough to
wow.
watch it.
Wow. Well, there are some good tips to our listeners via the KTRS app who are on the East Coast who are about to get something like 30 inches in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
I'm glad that storm missed us. On behalf of Tim and Josh and Colin and all of us here who work on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, I'm Paul Harris. Check me out online at harrisonline.com and join me again tomorrow from 3 to 6 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right. Well, it looks like we have things winding down pretty well. We're looking at still some slow traffic in areas between Page down through Doherty Ferry on southbound 270. A little bit heavy. Looks like we had an earlier incident on westbound 364 at the Veterans Bridge, so we got a little heavy traffic right there. Southbound 170 is slow from Ladue down through Highway 40. Downtown, we're still heavy eastbound 40 from about Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. This report brought to you by AccountTemps. When you need additional help closing your books, call AccountTemps. They can provide you with bookkeepers and other accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis and fast. Call today, AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Racing legend Richard Petty.
After over 1,100 races, you could say I've been through the ringer. To help me keep feeling my best, I use odor-free Blue MU made with real MU oil. Blue MU continuous pain relief spray makes it perfect for all those hard-to-reach places. And now there's the new Blue MU maximum arthritis pain relief cream. Perfect for hard-hitting arthritis pain. Thanks to Blue MU, nothing slows down the king. Use what I use, Blue MU. It works fast and you won't stink.
Available at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine retailers.
Enjoy signature cannolis, Italian cookies, coffees, and more at Pacioni Pastry. They also serve weekend brunch and daily lunch. Pacioni Pastry.
Yum.
Open late in the loop.
The Big 550.
KTRS. St. Louis.
Coverage you can count on. This is Fox 2 News at 6.
Tonight, what may be a new low in the Illinois budget crisis, shutting off the power at rest stops.
A billboard meant to show support for local law enforcement is defaced by a vandal. How the sign's owner is reacting.
Plus, why drivers are being advised not to abandon their running cars, even in this bitter cold.
New at 6 tonight, Fox 2 has learned IDOT snowplow yards and rest areas in the St. Louis area were in the dark for hours today.
Yeah, they actually had their power shut off. Fox 2's Andy Banker is here with exactly which places, for how long, and why, Andy?
Right, where the power's back on now.